You're tuned in to listen to Big Blue Kickoff live on...
All right. Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. I am Russ Salzberg, along with my colleague, two-time Super Bowl champion, David Deal. The number, as always, to call us is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. And listen, it is what it is. You know,
the good old cliche.
Bill Parcells used to say, always, your record is what it is.
It is.
You are what it, you know. And right now, it's 0-3. Were they improved in Sunday's performance? Yes. In a lot of areas, they were improved. But the bottom line in the National Football League is W's and L's. And right now, there are three L's and no W's. And it was as gut-wrenching can be the way it ended.
It most certainly was, because even with all of the negative plays, all of the penalties, everything that took place in that game, they still had opportunities to win the football game and were still in the game in the fourth quarter, which is all you can ask for. You think about when you hit adversity and you play the way you do in the first half, you start to get some semblance of what you want to do in the third quarter, and then all of a sudden you get some life in the fourth quarter, which you always say, at least let's get the game to the fourth quarter and go out with a fighting chance. But in order to do that on the road, you can't shoot yourself in the foot with stupid penalties and just bad play based upon X's and O's in football. That's one of the things that has really, you know, hurt me, and why some fans are disappointed as well. It's not the physical things that are taking place, just some of the football IQ decisions that are being made on the football field in regards to way linebackers are playing up against the run, the offensive line with the sets they're taking, knowing what kind of rush that you're getting. I mean, if you're having problems on the road and you're in third and longs, as an offensive tackle, the one thing I would say is, regardless of what happens here, I'm going to sit on this guy's inside number and I'm going to make him go outside and run the hoop. Because if you do that, you give yourself a fighting chance and you give your opportunity for the quarterback to step up. So that when you're in that circumstance and you overset a defensive end, when you know the circumstances that you're in, that's just not smart football.
You know, watching the game as it was unfolding in the first quarter, you know, they were going back and forth, but I saw some improvement.
Absolutely.
You know, Eli was being upright. I saw some improvement. There were things that I liked. Then, to me, the wind got taken out of my sails. That 18-play drive. Was it 18 plays?
18-play
drive, and it was through the defense. And some of the running, you know, LeGarrette Blount and Smallwood. I mean, what was driving me nuts was, listen, you give the other teams credit.
Without a doubt.
But it wasn't the yards so much, it was the yards after tackles.
Yards after missed tackles.
That's the key.
You know what
it was just...
Yards after contact but and yards after catch.
Even if there was initial contact, they'd get four where the Giants weren't getting any. And I think that was frustrating. You know, and a couple other things, I guess, and, you know, I'll certainly defer to you because you're the player. I love Eli Apple. I think he is going to be a terrific player. But there are certain things. I mean,
they're going after him.
He's running nose to nose with him, and he's got him covered, and he just
slows down to look at the ball.
Or loses sight where the ball is.
At that point, when you're running, play the receiver. Yeah. You know what route he's running. You know where the mark is of what he's trying to hit. And once again, this comes to football IQ. You heard Jackrabbit after the game, like, oh, we knew what was coming. We heard and we tried. And he goes, I came down to break on the play and actually hit Eli because I saw it and we knew it. He goes, I thought he was going to make the play. I was trying to come over and help. So, once again, if you're communicating those things before the play, you have to make the play, and you got to make the play on the ball. And you can't that's twice in a row, 2 weeks in a row, going up and not getting it against Detroit when that should have been an interception. And same thing in this one. Those are two crucial plays that, number one, give your offense back the football, but take away the momentum from that drive of what they're trying to do.
And needless to say, on short, well, before I get into the short yardage situations, fans, I readily admit, somebody needs to explain to me the rule.
The touchdown rule.
But maintaining control, I get. But I assumed, and you know what they say, you should never assume because you make a out of you and me. But yep. I am telling you, when Sterling Shepard, like, then I counted it. It's 1, 2, 3 steps, you're in the end zone.
I know.
Okay, if the rule says, no, you have to do that, that's fine. But it's a stupid rule. It makes no sense. And I promise you, I'd be saying the same thing if it was the opposing team.
Without a doubt.
That makes no sense.
No question.
It's a dumb rule.
And the biggest thing that you always talk about is finishing the play, which you do. And what is the other rule? The ground cannot cause the fumble, or that his arm, his forearm, everything was underneath it. So when it hit the ground, it wasn't the football. So that's the sad thing, that right now, you know, when it comes to third downs, you may convert one, but you're waiting to see for your celebration and excitement. Okay, is there flag down on the field or no? Oh, okay, now we can celebrate. Same things with touchdowns now. It's taking that pure joy and excitement out of the game because you don't know consistently what's a touchdown, what's not a touchdown. And this is a prime example that he gets his feet in, maintains control, has his arm underneath the football. And if you land full speed going up to get it like that, the ball is going to come out. But that is a clear catch and touchdown.
Well like I say, it after the first three games, self-inflicted wounds, whatever, Murphy's Law. Listen, in the Detroit game, there's a 56-yard field goal that bounces off the crossbar and through. There's a 61-yard field goal in this one.
But
there's a catch with 1 second left in the – oh, my goodness.
I will say this, though. If you saw the ones that he was hitting earlier, I mean, some of those looked like he could hit from 70. You could hear the ball come off of his foot on that last 61-yarder. They've got a talented kicker there. And for him to be able to do that in a game
– in that situation.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. You have to give him a lot of credit. For me, it just made me cringe. It brings back flashbacks of David Akers' 06 wild card playoff game. Oh.
Nightmare.
We all
remember it. All right, what do you say we open up the phone lines? Again, folks, the number is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is #GiantsChat. Let's start here in Jersey with Ryan. How are we doing today, Ryan?
Good, how are you?
Good, what's going on?
I just had two questions for you. One was, the first one that I'll go to is, how come the Giants don't use Shane Smith as a short yardage back instead of using the backs that they have? Because he's a bigger bodied, he's a fullback, but he could be a short yardage back, and I feel like they should use him more in short yardage compared to like Darkwa or Vereen or somebody.
I agree with you. Yeah. In that situation, not only would I put him in place of one of those players, you go with the two-back backfield so that you have a lead fullback and then you have a running back. That's one of the biggest things that they need to do moving forward here. We talked about this last week. They've got to get Shane Smith and Rhett Ellison more involved in the running game so that they can control things up front. They can run the ball. They can at least control the time of possession and try to make sure that they're staying ahead of the chains on first and second down. So in that regard, I agree with you. I hope that moving forward here that they use him more because of the sheer fact of getting that extra block, or even if he's stuffed at the line of scrimmage, it gives a back an opportunity to go into, you know, outside or inside, but it also frees up some area at the line of scrimmage where, as the offensive line, you could just come off of the ball and tee off and not have to worry about a front side linebacker running and trying to get downhill because you know the fullback's coming front side.
Yeah, Ryan, I wouldn't think my question was similar to yours, but it wasn't so much give him the ball there, but
have him in the backfield
and block for it. What was your other question, Ryan?
For the Giants offense in the fourth quarter, do you think that was a product of them actually getting the offense going, or was it more a product of them finally figuring out a defense that was pretty well wounded with four guys in the secondary out?
I think that's a product of them like starting to get things going.
Yeah, granted, they revved it up.
That secondary was
hurt.
Ryan, that secondary came hurt into this football game. That was one of the weak points of it. But you know, Jim Schwartz, their defensive coordinator, was going to have a good game plan. He was going to mix a lot of different things up coverage-wise and try to disguise things. You know their strength of their defense is their front four and their front seven. So you knew that they would have that rotation inside of the defensive linemen. I think it's a fact that they started to click. Think about it. This is the first time that these guys have played in live action all together in harmony and in sync since, I mean, we can't even go back till week two of the preseason with Odell getting hurt early in preseason. So think about it. The timing, the precision, I would say the continuity and what they needed to do offensively, I feel that's something that they need to do moving forward here is being able to go up-tempo. You saw Eli was very decisive getting the ball out of his hands in less than 2 seconds, number one, because he had a defense on their heels, but two, with the protection issues that they had, it was a way to move things and get things going offensively. But moving forward with that, one of the keys is when you go up-tempo, you better get first downs, because if you don't, you're putting your defense in terrible situations, trying to fight against the time of possession and putting them out on the field too long, which the last three games, first half, they've been on the field for 20 minutes.
Oren, let's go down to Old Virginia. Oren, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm feeling very confident, even though we're 0-3. That game was that was a really good game, but even though we lost, I feel like we can come out and win. But I feel like we're going to have to start winning now, though.
Well, there's no
question. Yeah, there is.
That's the understatement of understatements, Oren. I mean, we're running out of tomorrows.
Yeah.
I know. But the NFC East, I think, is really good. Did you see with the Oakland Raiders, the Redskins did to the Oakland Raiders? That was the biggest shock to me. The Eagles are good. The Cowboys, they still got it. They could honestly, they probably could have blew out the Cardinals yesterday. They just started off really slow. And I'm feeling like if the Giants has to start, like it's now, like we have to start winning. Like we're going to Tampa Bay. I feel like this is a good matchup. The secondary is not that good. And I feel like Eli, man, our receivers can take advantage of that. Jameis Winston, he's very loosely with the ball. He will throw the ball to the defense side and stuff. And I feel like some feels like we have to, this. I feel like if we can, and then next week we have the Chargers too. I feel like if we can start, you know, win a couple of games and stuff, and then we have a huge one against the Broncos.
Bob,
I feel like we can try to make the games very easy.
Well, Oren, listen, my friend, and thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it, but. I heard somebody say, I think it was Casillas say, they were talking about playoffs or what do you think now and this and that. And I agree with this. It's the same thing like being in a World Series or the playoffs and you're down 0-2 or 0-3. You think you can come back and win four? You need to win one.
One, yep.
You need to win one, and then you need to win two. They're 0-3. The Giants are 0-3. They need to win one. Then they need to win two.
Yep.
Then they win. Wishful thinking, they go 13-3. But it has to be, the mindset can't be the wild card, that what we're doing in the Super Bowl. It's got to be
right
tomorrow.
Now, it's almost in like we always talk about watching baseball games. What do they always used to say in the dugout? Just one hit. Get one hit, get things rolling, get things going for this baseball team. And then from there, we'll worry about everything else. In football, it's the same thing. When you go into these games, one play at a time, let's start getting big plays, but more than anything, those other games down the road don't mean anything if you don't take care of business right now, and that's this upcoming Sunday. And that's why you realize how precious each and every one of these opportunities are. I told you this the last week when we were talking about this. Being an NFL football player and being a professional football player is one of the greatest things that I've ever could have dreamed of and happened in my life. But every time I knew I stepped out on that football field, that opportunity is so precious. You only get 16 a year, and that's only one a week. So what you put out on the field that week, your performance, you better walk away without a regret, because that entire week, what you put on that film, you're going to have to digest and live with, because you're going to wait 6 more days till you get to go back and prove who you are again as a football player and as a team. And unless you do something different to make a different outcome and to get a win, that perception's never going to change. So when you step out on the field, when it's a new week, you can't do anything about the past but learn from it and don't let it repeat itself. And there is nothing that you can do about the future. The only thing you can focus on is the precious present, the things that are right in front of you, the things that you control, and move forward at a daily pace and at a weekly pace because nothing else matters.
Well, that's what we were talking about last
week. Yeah.
You know, football is different than all the other sports. You lose in football, it is 1 week.
Yeah, baseball, I went 1-for-4 yesterday. Okay, I'm going to play tomorrow or the day
or
after.
Or hockey,
yeah,
or basketball. Game the next night, let's go fix
and
it.
And as a football player, you have to sit for a week and you can't wait. And it eats a part at you in the inside because you have to wait to go back out there and show that you're something different than what you are.
Without question. Let's go to your old neck of the woods, my friend. Old Chicago to
all
right. City and check in with Mark. Mark, how are we doing today?
Hey, I'm doing okay. David, when are you going to have some games on that you're broadcasting out in Chicago? You do a really good job. I picked up a couple of them last year.
Thank you, Mark. I'm not sure. Actually, this week I'm heading out. It was great this past 2 weeks. 49ers on Thursday Night Football. Last night, the Cardinals on Monday Night Football.
Okay.
This week for Fox, I've got 49ers at Arizona. But, you know, I always love coming back to my hometown and then going mm-hmm. back to see everybody and doing it at Soldier Field.
What do you got for us today, Mark?
Well, you know, on Sunday, I had to actually watch the Bears because I couldn't watch the Giants until it came out on Game Pass. It was really interesting to watch those games because both the Bears and the Eagles ran the ball probably 60 to almost 70% of the time versus passing. And in both games, the Giants' defense and the Steelers' defense were totally unsure of what kind of play the other team was going to run, the Giants or the Bears, because they had that good mix of running and passing. And you could see, even on the pass to touchdown pass to Shepard, when you can run that play action, it freezes everybody up. And it really gets down to the second week in a row that I'm calling about Ben McAdoo's play calling at the goal line. And you talked earlier about Shane Smith being used as a lead blocker, and Darkwood in the preseason was asked about it, and he even said it is so much easier to run behind a fullback. So that's one. Shane Smith might as well have been on the inactive list because other than special teams, I didn't see him on the field for one play. So you either have him lead or you give the ball off to Darkwell and you get Shane Smith behind him and push him into the end zone. I mean, there's just a lack of creativity down by the goal line. Plus, they ran to the left side. They had your weakest blocking guard. You had Flowers and your weakest blocking tight end in Ingram, and you had your super-duper blocking tight end supposedly on the right side who might as well have been blocking air. I mean, you know, and you run on second or third down, and then you pass on fourth. You don't run pass on second and third and then run on fourth. It just drives me crazy.
Well,
but I like your comment on that. And then, David, I have a blocking technique question for you.
Okay,
Mark's rolling. I love it.
Mark, just do with you one other question coming up. You know, it's not the Mark from Chicago show. No offense.
No, I love it. Well, hey, I got to give my Chicago guys some love. Go ahead. Toss in the last one so I can answer these for you, Mark. Go ahead.
David, once I didn't play pro football. I didn't play college football, but I played high school football, and I played in an era where we ran 70% of the time. And our blocking coach was, you get your butt down, you get in a 3 or 4 point stance, you get your pads low, and you explode and you push out the defensive lineman.
Yep.
I see our tackles in a 2 point stance with their backs at a 45 degree angle. I know they do a lot with their hands, but how can you expect to have an explosive running game when your tackles aren't down in a stance position?
All right, thank you very much for the call.
That's actually a very great question. So we'll go back. All right, in regards to the Shane Smith, I agree with you. I feel like they definitely need to use him more. And, you know, I've always been a big Orleans Darkwood guy. I'm a big fan of his. But his strength is when you get him going downhill. You think about last year or 2 years ago with DeMarco Murray in the Eagle system. He's a north-south guy. He is not an east-west guy because he doesn't have that burst of speed to where he can accelerate on a dime. You need to build up his momentum to the line of scrimmage. So, you know, for the defense of the Eagles to sit back and they see Eli in the shotgun with Orleans as an offset, that's not something that's going to scare them that, okay, they're going to worry about him getting downhill right away. So that's one of the things why having him in an eye or moving him offset in a different position, you know, helps him with the Shane Smith in front of him, because then he can accelerate as much as he needs to get to the line of scrimmage. In regards to as an offensive lineman, as an offensive tackle, you know, in the zone scheme, the front side tackle has got to widen and move out the defensive end to create a lane with the double teams and to create space to where the ball can either go front side with the linebackers over pursuing to try to create more havoc because they see it opening, or for the ball to be able to cut backside off of the interior zone scheme. So I agree with you. That's one of the things that we continue to talk about, the transition from NFL linemen and what they had to do in college. The transition from college to pros is completely different because you have to have your hand in the ground and move.
Like we were saying again last week, you know, and believe me, callers, we love you. You know, you make the show. That is
absolutely
for sure. But, you know, when somebody calls up and says, I played in high school.
No,
I played in – you know what? There's, like I say, there was a million or 5 million high school players.
No,
there's 500.
But Mark was asking, saying that he didn't. He didn't know. I right. like that he did it. And he was honest and asked a legitimate question. And that is he brought up a great point, because in the zone running scheme, when you're going so spread out and you're doing all those things and in your two-point stance, you're not firing off of the ball with the leverage that you have with your hand in the ground like you do in the running game. And in regards to the time of possession, you control the game by the ground game. You control the game by what you're able to do running the football and play action.
That has been an issue.
And that's one of the things that as this offensive line continues – they need to fight for that, because that is what will save them as a group, is their ability to run it.
Jay in Pennsylvania. Jay, how you doing today?
Hello?
Oh, excuse me. Is this Jay or Joe?
Joe. This is Joe.
Joe. Hey, Joe. How are you, my friend?
I'm a diehard, so I'm still suffering over this last loss.
Right.
Looking at this game here, the whole thing, you got to sit down. It's the team. The team, we could have won this game. I think we outplayed them. We had all the chances in the world. The first two games, the offense didn't show up. The offense finally got intact here and going, and then the defense let down on the running game. They sacked them more, the Eagles. They showed that they can rush against them. The punting and kicking team, they, you know what I mean? They're hurting the team there. The punts, you know, out of bounds there at the end of the game. The short kickoffs, that's giving them chances. I don't know, I guess, if that's set up like that to make plays to get them down on the 20. But the way our offense wasn't moving at earlier, I didn't like that. I like it rather just kick it in the end zone. And that it's a team game. We got to settle down and stop hurting the team. Everyone, the offense got going with the coaching staff. They showed what they can do. The defense showed what they could do the first two games. I know the specialty teams, the kickers can do it. It's got to be that.
Well,
and you score.
That's the one thing I was just going to say, Joe. The one thing that you left out was special teams. Punt return for a touchdown against the Lions. Awful punt up against the Eagles to give them perfect field position.
I mean, you got a 60-yard punt the week before that gets run back for a touchdown.
This is what I'm trying to say. It's
exactly
the whole team, even the coaching staff, with their game plan. They got the offensive going right. We just got to sit down. We score touchdowns and stuff. We can't go wild like we won the Super Bowl either. You know, and hurt anything that's hurting the team. We got to get together as a team. We just hurt the team. Everyone's hurting the team.
Yeah,
if we play together, we have a chance, but we got to look at that. If they would just look at Judge, he just hit his 50th homer, how humble he was and stuff like that, and thanking God and the teammates and everything like that. We got to get together and play as a team.
Well, I thank Joe. Thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. They're not look, you're comparing something. I don't get the correlation with Aaron Judge, and it was great to see him yesterday, but the team is together.
He was just saying that he was humble and
yeah,
but
the team is together.
Yeah.
This is not a divided team in no way, shape, or form. The problem, and you heard the defensive guy say after the game, yeah, that one was on us.
Yeah.
We didn't get it
Everybody's
done.
Taking
but,
accountability
but the
for
coach,
it, no doubt.
You know, Ben has said they had still not played a full complementary game where one takes care of the other and all facets work. When I saw that 28-yard punt. I mean, and Brad.
And think about what a weapon he's been for this team.
A bona fide weapon.
Field position, corner kickings, absolutely.
He's not good. He's extremely
good. He's exceptional.
He really is.
And,
but he came up with a stinker at the wrong time.
And see, once again, it goes to show you how each and every phase
bones
of the
connected
exactly
to everything.
Each and every phase of the game correlates to you winning football games. And we got asked earlier, was that the fourth quarter? Was that them just finally clicking and getting it? Who knows if that could have happened earlier in the first half if they didn't have any all the drops that they had at the receiver position.
Without question. 201-939-4513, callers, or on Twitter it is hashtag Giants Chat. Since we're in Pennsylvania, let's stay in Pennsylvania, go to Bob. Bob, how are we doing today?
Okay, Russ, how you doing?
Good. What's going on?
I just want to preface this with a quick comment, and then I called in today because I have a question for David. I'm a season ticket holder since 1973. I go to a lot of road games. I'm going to the game in Tampa this weekend, and I don't even give a darn about it anymore. It's not the 0-3 start. It's just that this team is no longer a team. It's the Odell show, and I just want to. I'm just disgusted with the whole thing. I'm disgusted because it's all about him. Like, he talks to the opposition. It's all about get that camera on me. It's like 24/7. But I just want to ask David a quick question. I don't know if you, in your honest opinion, I know what my opinion is 100%. 10 years ago, we won Super Bowl 42. Would we have won that year had Shockey, Odell on steroids is basically with is Shockey on steroids is what Odell is right now. He's just like 10 times.
Bob.
All right, I just want to ask David one quick thing before you cut me off, Russ. Would they have won the Super Bowl had he not gotten injured and that became Eli's team? Because everybody was always, every time he missed a pass, they were throwing their arm up like, hey, put the ball on the money, Eli. I think that became Eli's team, and that's why you went on that run, because Shockey was out of the picture. They didn't even let him on the sideline. You know that, David. All right,
Bob, you kind of went.
Let David answer, please.
Bob, what's the question?
You're going all over the place.
My question is, would you have won the Super Bowl in 42 if Shockey was a part of it?
Without a doubt.
That's the problem with Odell. Without a doubt, Russ.
Bob, take a deep breath. I'm answering, my man. Bob, I have zero doubt that we would have won the Super Bowl that year with Shockey or without Shockey on that football team. Number one, Eli already had the motivation and the drive to where he came into that season as a different person based upon the comments that Tiki made going 100%. Into that season. So you saw a different mentally focused and determined drive out of Eli Manning. And all that stuff, the body language, whatever, all the receivers, all the top guys, you hear them come back to the huddle. They want the ball. I was open. No, you were in double coverage. I heard it my entire career. So to sit here and to say that we wouldn't have won those games that we did with him out there and we wouldn't have won the Super Bowl, I completely disagree with you. Because even though he did those things and did all that stuff and threw up his arms, we had a veteran group with myself, Kareem McKenzie, Rich Soibert, all of us on that team that we knew we were accountable. And when all that stuff would happen, we'd be like, hey, we'd hit him. We'd tell him.
That's what the leadership counts.
That's what leadership does. So I disagree with you on that one. And in regards to Odell, in regards to this last game, I tweeted it out right when it happened. Thank you very much for breaking the touchdown drought. But how can you mark a spot on the field when you're 0-2 and you're down 14-7 in a game? So in that regards, I agree with you. And the thing that I wrote after that, you never know. Maybe this is the spark that the Giants team needs. And they responded after it because they've all been waiting for somebody to make that big play, for somebody to bring that confidence and that swag out of them. I agree. I don't like what he did, and I don't accept it. And obviously, that's why John Mara came out with the statement that he did. But it brought something into this football team that they haven't had since last year.
But he's talking about, and he was talking about, this is Odell's team. It's Odell this and Odell that. First of all, Eli's the leader of the team. Everybody would tell you that on offense and defense.
Agreed.
That said, but you know what? No one's complete. And Everybody's also going to tell you on the team that who is their most explosive, biggest weapon on the team. It is Odell Beckham.
Who's the player on that team, on the Giants team, that scares every other football team?
It is Odell Beckham Jr. And who made not one, not two spectacular catches in the game? Odell Beckham Jr. So, listen, you don't want Odell on the team? Okay, then don't complain. I mean, because you're not going to be as good without Odell on the team.
And I said this, and I'll go back, and this is the last time that I'll talk about this, because I'll go back to all this stuff with Carolina and Josh Norman. Regardless of how he responded in that manner, he would have been wrong. If he didn't go back and fight back after him, he's all talk. He's not a fighter. He's not a tough guy. He doesn't back it up.
Exactly.
But the fact that he backed it up, he's cheap. How can he do that? So that he is a player that brings and draws that attention everywhere that he goes, because he has that it factor that when he's out on the football field and he has the ball in his hands, you don't want to miss it, because you could watch one of the most exceptional plays that you will ever see. But the penalties, and the penalties all over for this football team, have hurt this team win football games. John Jerry, 3rd-and-3, completely inexcusable because you're tired, to get a holding penalty on a D lineman. Completely ruined that drive, completely, once again, ruined their opportunity to put more points up on the board and seal that football game. So I understand where you're coming from, and I understand the frustration. But, like we said, John Mara said that they're going to address it. Let the team handle it and see what they do.
Charles, you've been on for a while, buddy. How are you doing in New Mexico there today?
Hey, you guys, how are you today?
Good. How you doing?
You know what's funny, man? I listen to these guys go off on rants and everything. Here's the bottom line. The play calling was horrible. They needed a spark. The offense got it. Where's the run defense? And I'll tell you where the run defense is. We got Goodson hurt. We got no linebackers in the middle. You know, the rookie's doing a good job. But why didn't we get Blunt? Why didn't we get a runner like that? We can all go back to the goal line and everything and cry about the plays. Hey, we took the lead and we blew it. And I hate to say this. I mean, I'm a diehard Giant fan, and I live here in Cowboy country and Bronco country.
We know that,
Charles. I'm in for a brutal season, and I'll just take it and keep my head up and just keep going. I was wearing my Giant hat at the gym this morning. But how can they fix this? And, Dave, you were on that championship team, and we've all been fit.
Dave,
we've all been
Dave
fans forever. Is there any way they can turn it around?
Championship teams. Not one, two championship
teams. I said championship teams.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And that's one of the things that I said moving forward for them last week, and I'll continue to say. This team has to play complimentary football, and they cannot go into football games waiting for a player to make a play, and they can't go into football games making the amount of mistakes and negative plays, whether it's penalties, whether it's drop balls, and expect to survive when they don't have the run game going. So those are things that they have to do. Shane Smith, Red Ellison, they have got to be able to move the football in the ground game so they can spread things out and Eli can get rid of the ball quickly. Because what are we seeing? We're seeing defenses say, we're going to load up, we're going to play soft zone, we're going to make sure that you guys don't go past 10. And we don't respect your run game currently.
Yeah. You're right. And the last caller, just hear me out, the last caller, I forget where he was from. We threw the ball 34 times in 17 runs, and it wasn't the Odell show, because there's 9 wide receivers that Eli threw to during the game.
Very good
and
point.
I never see Odell put his hands up that he's upset that he didn't get the ball, okay? What he did in the end zone was terrible. And some of these other Giant fans I've been talking to are like, let's trade him next year. He's like our Herschel Walker. What are they on, crack? I'm sorry I have to say that, but he is a dynamic player. We need to keep him. Let's get that line cohesive. Let's get a running game. Let's get the rookie in from Clemson and see what he can do.
Yeah, well, you know what, Charles, and thank you for the call. That's not a fair that's not a bad point. I mean, I think some people would like to see what Gallman can do. But again, I'm not there watching practice every day.
Yeah, one of the things with Wayne Gallman is protections, being able to pick up blitzes. And the other thing is he's got to do a much better job with running his pads lower, because you've seen him in Clemson. He took a lot of big hits like he did in the preseason as well.
Yeah, no, and as you say, listen, going into this, and that's a point we really haven't, you know, did a lot with today. Going into the game, the big question was making sure Eli is protected, and that's a big thing with a young guy like Gallman.
Yep.
You know, can he do that? So, and let's give some kudos, because the offensive line and the game plan and you know, Ben, listen, there was not a problem with – to me, with the play calling. I mean, yeah, there were certain issues on the goal line and what, but there were certainly improvements. Eli was upright. He made adjustments with the play
call. And like I said, those are certain aspects that they did in the second half that were possibly adjustments that they could have made in the first if they were able to continue and extend drives without having the drops and without having the defensive secondary, which was the weakness for the Philadelphia Eagles, have to play more hesitant and have to try to play on the run instead of being able to sit there and play with confidence, knowing the fact that the run game wasn't working out well.
Lisa in Brooklyn. Lisa, how are you today?
Hello.
Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you, Lisa?
Hi, how are you guys? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Lisa.
I have to say that was a tough game in Philly. But I have to talk about Odell Beckham. I understand the caller was upset with Odell Beckham, and I am too as a fan. But he's a little bit immature, but he is a game changer. You can't really get so down on him and say you want him to be traded. He's a game changer. He just starts that offense, and I just have to say that about him. I mean, you have to give him, let the ownership take care of it.
Well, you heard, you know, John Mara had said it's going to be, he's going to be spoken
handled,
to
yep.
if he wasn't spoken to already, Lisa, and they move forward. But to say, listen, Odell Beckham Jr., like it's just the Odell show, and you know, Charles,
no.
the previous caller before you brought up an excellent point. That ball was moved around.
Yeah.
It wasn't just the Odell.
I think Eli had a great game. After the interception, I think he was quick. He was moving the ball around. I think he had a great game. I just questioned, like David said, too, when they were going in, I don't know why they don't use the I formation. I don't understand why they don't use the fullback.
Yep.
To me, that gets the ball in. Do it on first and second down. Then throw the ball. I think those are the two points in the game where the play calling just messed up just a little bit. Other than that, though, I think they were pretty on point. McAdoo made a few changes like he promised. And, I mean, I have hope. I think they're going to go in next week. I really think they're going to play better. And my preschool, if you remember, we're stomping this Friday.
Awesome. I love it.
We're going to start our stomp again.
All right.
We're going to lose another game.
Well, Lisa, you make sure they stomp loud and clear, all right?
Oh, yeah, they will.
And
have a great day, guys.
Thank you.
Too,
and tell
thank
them
you.
Russ and Dave said hello, okay, Lisa? Thank you. All right, 201-939-4513 is the number to call. Let's go to Jay in Brooklyn. Jay, how you doing today, my
back
friend?
Back-to-back Brooklyn.
Hey, what's up,
Russ?
Where's
Brooklyn at?
What's going on, man?
Where in Brooklyn, Jay?
Williamsburg.
All right.
I got a quick question for you. You know, one of the critiques of McAdoo last year was the 11 personnel, the three wides 90% of the time. And he basically said, hey, you know, the discussion was, well, I don't have the personnel. We didn't have a fullback. We don't have a blocking tight end. The offseason comes. They got a fullback. They signed a blocking tight end for, I think, what, $5 million a year or something like that? But yet he doesn't play them. The fullback wasn't on the field for one snap on Sunday, not one snap. The tight end, who they signed for $5 million a year, the Giants ran 70 plays on Sunday. He was on the field for 20 plays. He talks about being heavy-handed and he wants to, but he doesn't show it in the game plan. They don't mix. I don't understand that, Dave. Can you explain that?
And that's something that I think a lot of people are asking, then, if this was going to be the change, how come you're not sticking with it? And I think that's something that you've heard me address last week and this week with the callers earlier, that they have to do. They have to help out the offensive line. They've got to be able to control the time of possession, especially in the first half, because you see 3 weeks in a row, the defense out on the field for over 20 minutes. And what does it do? You start seeing a defense have missed tackles. You see the offense of the other team getting yards after contact and yards after the catch. And it's because they're getting worn down because of the offense's inability to control the pace of the football game. So it's going to be very important for them moving forward, especially going on the road in Tampa Bay. You know, Jameis Winston is going to use the clock. You know that he's going to try to manipulate it as much as he can. And you know Mike Smith, the defensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he has a lot of confidence in their corners and Grimes and Hargraves, and they pin their ears back and they play the run on the way to the quarterback.
You know, Jay, listen, your point about Red Ellison is very well taken, and thank you for the call, Jay, because you know, a lot of people, we were talking about that even off camera.
Yeah.
A lot of people around here were talking about going into the season, well, he's going to be so vital to the point of attack and this and that. And, you know, that's a fair question. I mean, it's a fair question for all the fans to ask. They like to see more of that and like to see more of fullback play. Nick, nearby in the Meadowlands. Nicky, how are you today, my friend?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, Nick?
What's up,
Big
Nick?
Deal.
How are you, buddy?
All right, brother. Listen, you know, a lot of things. And I think confidence is the biggest thing, you know. You got to have confidence. Got to get that first W, you know. You came close, you know, a lot of good things. But I like everything everybody's been saying. I formation, I would have done that down there in the red zone more. That call sucked, you know. He had 3 feet in, you know, but it is what it is. The old saying, right? You know?
Yeah, but I'm in the same regard. But how about the one before? You fight to get in the end zone.
He should have fell back.
You turn
your
shoulders upfield and you fall in.
Yeah, I know. There was, you know, they weren't on our side either. You see the last second, that second just happened to stay on the clock. You know, they should have made the tackle and kept it inbound, but they should have made a lot of tackles
in
that regard.
You know what, Nick? That was a Murphy's Law game.
Nothing was going right. No.
I mean,
yeah, I know. And then look at that field goal. And, you know, like a caller was saying before, I think it was Joe, you know, look at Brad Wing, you know, great year last year. And, you know, against the Lions, he kicks a 70-yard punt, you know, at one point
60,
in the game,
yeah,
you know. And,
yeah,
and what happened, happened. But the other thing is, I called last week, and Russ, you were saying I'm a coach and I'm this and that and, you know, technique. A caller called before. You know, some of us have played football before. We haven't played street football and whatever, you know. So we have our opinions, and it's not coaching. It's just what we'd like to see, and you got to listen to us. You know what I mean?
So, Nick, believe me, you're an excellent
caller. Take it easy.
You're an excellent caller, and I like your calls. Like, here's my point with that. I'm sitting with a guy who played on two Super Bowl championship teams, okay? I everybody's entitled to opinions. But when we start getting calls and we're sitting here for 10 minutes, you telling us about the technique, you know, first of all, I want to get more calls into the show, okay? Because if I spend all the time on you giving us technique, I'm not having Dave talk about it or somebody else. That's all my point is. We want you guys to call in, and we want your opinions. But like I say, you know, a lot of people played high school football. More people played Pop Warner, and then you trickle it down. But you know what? It's very hard to play in the National Football League.
No, and the thing that I love talking about is if with offensive line play, either you know or you don't. There's no in between because it's such a different position out on the football field than anybody else knows because of how important the mesh, the communications, where the protection's going, all the stuff that is involved in it. So I love when people come up and ask me all type of questions. I don't like when people, I know offensive line play because I looked at Pro Football Focus.
That's my point.
Would much rather you have me ask me a question because Pro Football Focus is the worst grading system that you can have for an offensive lineman. Anybody that knows offensive line play throughout the NFL and in college, that's no way to grade somebody. That's a great tool to use for whether it's receiving yards or all that. But when it comes to pressures, offensive line play, that is completely skewed. So that's something that right away when somebody comes up to me with that, I go, okay, I know you're not an offensive lineman right now because you're using Pro Football Focus stats at me.
Dave in North Carolina. Dave, how you doing today? You're on with Russ and Dave.
Yes, sir. Doing well. Hope you guys are.
Okay,
thanks, Dave. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. I wanted to get Mr. Dill's opinion on this. You know, definitely more entertaining game, and I was thankful for that it was a game that we were in. But I want to get David's thoughts on this. You know, the more I dig at this team and look at it, and I'm glad you brought up Pro Football Focus. You know, one stat that's kind of stood the test of time is points for and points against. And if you look at this team last year, I don't want to throw around the word luck, but you won't see many teams go 11-5 and give up more points than they scored. And we were able to do that. So the turnovers that seem to fluctuate from year to year, maybe the ball bouncing your way. What I'm trying to get to is, you know, the defense definitely isn't playing as good as it was last year, but would you guys agree it's still doing a decent job of holding teams to a decent, you know, points per game. And so to me, when I look at the offense this weekend, yes, it was better, but don't you think it was kind of a gimmick, David? I mean, that offense isn't sustainable. I mean, let's take a realistic look at this. I mean, the Eagles were depleted at every phase, at every level. Fletcher Cox missed most of the game, and we still couldn't run it up in there. For some reason, Philadelphia got out of the cover two that everybody's been playing and went with a little single high, which I think brought that success. You look at that pass to Sterling Shepard, and that thing was fitted through an eye of a needle. And I look at some of these routes, and it just scares me to death, like the first interception. I'm worried going forward you're just going to have all kinds of weird zone blitzes where defensive ends are dropping back and just batting down the ball or trying to pick it off because they know the slant's coming. I mean, it's just so predictable. It's slant, slant, slant. He can't even get to his second read because he's just trying to get it out so fast. I mean, come on. David, this isn't a sustainable offense. I mean, tell us the truth, man. You've been there. You've lived it. I mean, what are you seeing?
I think by now anybody knows that I'm always honest and I tell the truth. And in regards to the numbers, obviously points scored at the end of the day is who determines what wins and loses. But the three numbers that stuck out to me the most in this football game for the Giants were 2, 10, 137. Turned over the ball twice, 10 penalties for 137 yards. Those two things right there on the road up against the football team, regardless of whether they're depleted or not, those are tough things to overcome on the road. You always hear turnovers and penalties lose football games for you because right when you need that big play, those penalties kill you yardage-wise. And right when you think you have that momentum coming your way, the minute that the ball goes into the other team's hand, it's over for you so that you're always trying to overcompensate for those things. Do I think they have the weapons? Do I think that they have the personnel? Do I think this football team is better than they are and that they have played? 100%. But it's going out and doing it out on a Sunday game and showing people who you are as a football team. I think that they can sustain things offensively as long as they incorporate Shane Smith and Red Ellison more into the run game. And the weapons that they have on the outside, what you saw in the fourth quarter and in the second half, once they started clicking and holding on to the football and not having the drops like they did, that's when you're going to have success moving the football downfield and start putting touchdowns on the board. They have to do it faster, and they have to start faster and not kill themselves in games by the turnovers and penalties they have on their own.
Yeah, this team has better personnel than it had last year. It does, you know, and they made improvements. But part of the questions today was, how are they using it?
Exactly.
You know, that's a fair question for all the callers to make. Let's go down to Florida. Pete, how you doing? You safe down in Florida?
Hey. I am. We weathered through the storm pretty well. How are you guys doing?
Great to hear, Pete.
Great to hear.
So my question, I'm not sure if this is right or not. I didn't see him on the field, but what is your opinion on McAdoo not really using Shane Smith at all with our running game, only getting, what they say, like 7 yards in the first half?
Pete, we've been talking about
we just talked about that for over 40 minutes, man.
No, that's okay.
Tune in, Pete. Come on, man.
that's okay. But
no, we agree with you,
yeah,
Pete.
Yeah, we agree, Pete.
The fact that Shane Smith wasn't out on the field for any of the running plays, especially when you get down towards the goal line, he's got to be a key to the success of running the football and controlling the ground game and time of possession. You know, I think about the times that I had either Madison Hedgecock or Big Hynoski out there running
exactly,
over people.
The Hynoceros.
It makes a big difference because you're adding another element to the running game. When you think about teams that run 4-3 defenses, they start to now bring down another safety into the box to manage up numbers-wise, and that opens things up on the outside because what do? You create one-on-ones with your receivers.
Pete, where are you down in Florida, my friend?
I'm in Cocoa Beach, Florida.
So you got through without serious damage and everything? You okay?
Yeah, we didn't even have our power draw. We had a blown fence over.
Thank God.
Out of work for a couple days, but that was nice.
All right, thank you.
Thank God.
Thanks
Make sure you go help out those that are less fortunate, though.
Thanks very much, Pete. Appreciate the call. All right, let's go to CJ. CJ in the Bronx. CJ, how we doing today?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
How you doing?
Good. Talking football, CJ. What do you got, my man?
Mr. Deal, now that I'm on the phone with you, I would like to take this time to thank you for your service throughout all the years of being a Giant. I appreciate your service, my man.
Appreciate that, CJ. You know, I bleed blue, my man.
Gentlemen, I just basically wanted to just go over a quick couple set of points here. After Sunday's game, you know, I was a little disappointed in our short yards, running the ball with short yardage. I think it's really, really bad that with third and inches or second and inches, there's no possible push in that line where we can, you know, move a couple of inches and score the ball. I think that that's definitely a problem. And, you know, ever since we won the Super Bowl in 2012, you know, the offensive line has been an issue. I would say more so our Achilles heel for the duration of that time. Unfortunately, not being able to give Eli Manning so much time in the pocket. What do you guys think about that?
Well, obviously, I mean, that's definitely something that everybody can talk about because there's nothing that has happened thus far this season to change your perception of that. So that is an easy thing for fans to say and for people and spectators to watch when they're watching a football game. But in that regard, like I said, they have to incorporate more of the running and more of the downhill stuff in order to help create more advantages for this offensive line and to take some off of their plate when it comes to protection and everything that they're doing. I mean, that's just a given.
I think you would agree with this, Dave. I don't think it's a case of they don't want to incorporate the run. I think they've been also disappointed when they
the production, yeah.
You know, when you try to incorporate it and you give – you know, it's like show me. Show me that you want the ball more.
Yeah.
You know, show me that we want more running plays. Listen, I agree with you. And you know, when you – this is the NFL. You're down on the inch line. You got to bang it through.
You got to, man.
No, CJ, 100%. But I just think part of the problem is, yeah, we want to see, just as Dave says, you want to see more of that, you know, running downhill and this and that. But you got to show the coaching staff that you guys can do that. And
yeah,
they've only seen it in glimpses. They certainly have. Listen, when Darkwell went on that 20-yard, what was it, a 20-yard or so run,
yeah,
around then, it was like, oh, my goodness, this, how great was that to see? But we haven't seen enough of that. And
that run right there, Russ, was the absolute best running play we've had all season.
Without question, buddy.
And I honestly, you know, I was so happy just for that split second, just to reminisce a little bit about how old school power running game Giants football actually is. But, you know, I know I'm strapped on time, but I just want to, you know, make one quick more point. For all those Eli haters out there that say that Eli Manning is on the decline, I just want to read one quick stat for you guys, and I'll just take your opinion off the air. In 2014, Eli Manning threw for 4,400 yards, 30 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, and had a 92.1 QBR rating. In 2015, he threw for 30 yards, 35 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, and had a 93.6 QBR rating. Last year, he threw for 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, 16 interceptions, and had a QBR of 86%. Guys, we need a better line to give Eli enough options in the running game, both in the running game or in the passing game, in order for him to be successful. I honestly think that the offense that we had when Plaxico Burress was around at the time, comparing it to now, I know it's two different types of ideas in regards to the offense, but it's nothing. It doesn't remind me nothing. It has nothing that it reminds me of when it comes to these two types of offenses. And I think that if we have a line that will keep Manning upright, we will start seeing the production that we are looking for. But with that said, I thank you guys for taking my phone call, and I hope you guys have a great day.
You too, CJ. Thanks
great,
for the call.
Great point.
You want to know something? And I wonder how many people thought about this. I'm watching the game Sunday, okay? And I'm making my notes, and I'm watching. And I'm going back. I says, okay, now they're losing 14-0. the half.
Yep.
Whatever it was. And then I'm saying to myself, here we go. No, then we got to the fourth quarter.
Okay.
And now they take the lead, 21-14.
21-14.
And
yep.
I'm saying to myself, this is in comparison to your first Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you go
0-2.
Yeah. You're losing 17-3, I think it was, at halftime,
yeah, at halftime
in Washington.
Yeah. In Washington.
Here they are. They were getting smacked, and now they take a lead. Whoa, it's a good omen, but they couldn't hold on to it.
I know. And in regards to that, CJ, you made a great point. And, you know, obviously he's getting a lot of heat this year and a lot of the players on the team. But I talked to Joe Thomas 2 weeks ago to congratulate him on over 10,000 consecutive snaps. He's a close friend of mine.
Right.
He's blocked for 29 quarterbacks. I blocked for one in 10 seasons, and he's still out there throwing the football at a high level. He's making throws like the one to Sterling Shepard in the end zone that should have been a touchdown. Some of the throws against Detroit with people draped all over him and at his legs. Like, how much more can you ask of a quarterback to be able to sit in the pocket, know that the pressure and the hits are going to be coming, and do it on a consistent basis week after week after week? And I know I wouldn't have two Super Bowl rings, and I know that there is not a single quarterback I would have rather had behind me in fourth quarters with games on the line than Eli Manning.
You know which might have been Eli's best throw of the season? I mean that sincerely. In the Philadelphia game. At the end, you know, with less than 5 minutes to go, when he was running to his left and put that ball really on the money to – listen, he got hit, but he put the ball on the money to Engram. I mean, that was not – believe me, that was not some old man quarterback making that play.
No,
listen, again, I always refer to what Bill Parcells used to say about Sims when he was criticized.
Yep.
Someday, guys, you're going to say that old number 11 was pretty good. Well, you're going to be saying the same thing about number 10.
As you said it, CJ, men lie, women lie, numbers don't.
Adam in Columbus, we'll go to you, Adam. I know you've been hanging on. What's up, buddy?
How happened, guys? How you doing this afternoon?
What's up, Adam?
What's
We're great,
up, Adam?
Man.
Great. Well, thanks for taking my call. You know, one throw I think Eli made that I'm surprised hasn't been talked about much yet was in the Detroit game. It was a downfield right to Jarrell Adams.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was just getting mugged.
Yeah.
He was getting mugged when he made that throw.
Yeah,
I thought
good
it was
point.
One of his best throws, arguably, I've ever seen in the pocket.
Yeah, we agree with you. That's that's exactly what we're talking about. Think about if you were sitting back there and having to make some of the throws that he's been able to make with people all over him.
Yeah. Well, I think I disagree with a couple callers ago where a guy said he was concerned that we're getting too monotonous in our route trees with all the slants. You know, the neither potential touchdown to Sterling Shepard was a slant, neither touchdown to Odell Beckham was a slant, and the interception to Brandon Marshall, which I actually liked the decision with a one-on-one with a 6'5 receiver. I think the ball just maybe put it a little more outside and give a chance.
Yeah, outside number and let him go up and get it with the size.
You know what?
Absolutely, yeah.
Adam, thanks very much for the call, my friend. Let me ask you a question on that, and maybe, again, I don't want to say I'm being critical. I was just wondering, on the interception with Brandon, does Brandon have to turn into a defender on that
and
play?
Take him down and don't let him catch it,
okay.
Without
because,
a doubt.
It was on a first down play, too.
Yeah,
that's
you take the penalty.
You take the penalty, and that's a good penalty.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, granted, it was low and inside, but when you're up, you grab him and you try to rip him down and get that ball out.
You know, get it away. Let me take the penalty and walk back. And I don't
think
anybody's
going to. Once again, that goes to smart football IQ and playing above the X's and O's.
Yeah, it's been that. Listen, you're 0-3. There's a reason why a team is 0-3. I'm not trying to sugarcoat the record, but I did see improvement.
Without a doubt.
A lot of people saw improvement in that game. First of all, Eli was getting the ball around. Eli was protected. He was standing upright. Now, the next question I'm sure, you know, people are going to have, you know, defenses aren't stupid. You can't – defensive coordinators are going to be saying to themselves, well, if this is the way they're going to be running everything with the hurry up, they're going to defend against that. So that's up to Ben McAdoo.
Yeah, that's the chess match of football.
That becomes – am I right?
Yeah, I mean, but that's always the case. What you put on film and the things that you have success are how they're going to try to prepare. And the things that you've done negatively, those are the things that and areas they're going to try to attack until you correct it.
Yeah, it's – you're 0-3, okay? We did see improvements, and, you know, but – what are they going to do? Are they going to build on the improvements? They got to go down to Tampa this week and not be thinking about the next two or the next three games. Well, if we get to 500, we're going to be okay.
No. Right?
You got to get to 1-3. The only focus has to be on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week when they go down to Florida. And it's going to be another hot day.
It's going to be a hot day. And when that clock starts and that first opening kickoff, you better get yourself ready for a fight. Because that's what it's going to be. There's going to be adversity during the football game. And who's going to be standing up there with their chest out saying, let's go and push forward?
You know, the Giants, they got to say to themselves, guys, it's 0-3 and we've had enough kicking around. It's time we kick somebody else around. All right, well, that's a wrap on today for David Deal. I'm Russ Salzberg. Thanks for being part of Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. I will see you tomorrow.